Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into Behind Enemy Lines, the collaboration between the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Paul Farrington Show. Paul, joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler up at Harvard University, and the great Andy Herman of Pack-A-Day Podcast. Yeah, I mean, Andy, we're going to give you your flowers since this show currently has one big winner and two, I don't want to say losers about me and Ziggy, but it's kind of trending in that direction given this past weekend of not just Viking misery, but we were actually at the Notre Dame game this weekend too, losing on the final play. So a tough football weekend for the Paul Farrington Show.
Very much so. It just seems lately that there's just a little extra crisp in the air. Everything seems amazing, just rainbow and sunshine and butterflies all over the place. Every day I just wake up with a little bit of extra exuberance and like, you know, just like life is so incredible. It's really remarkable how things feel right now. How are you guys doing?
Ziggy, you want to take this one? I might just walk off for a few minutes.
Right now it's 70 and sunny in Green Bay. It's like 60 and dark clouds over here.
Yeah,
that's exactly how things are going.
There's like just a rain cloud kind of over. I feel like following me around lately. Whenever I think about football, I'm like, oh my god. So Andy, I actually did a little calculation. When I get sad about football, I try and find like the optimistic point of view, but then usually it just leads me down another pessimistic path. And I realized between Notre Dame and the Vikings, right before the Viking Ram playoff game last year, the two of them had combined to be 28-4 that last season, which, I mean, that's like, you can't script it much better. Since then, 1-5 with maybe one good quarter of Viking football and one awesome national championship opening drive for ND. But other than that, just straight heartbreak. And I guess that's, you know, we have trade-offs. It can't all be good. Unless you live in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, I think obviously Green Bay has the two Super Bowls over the last three decades, but also has a just laundry list of agonizing, heartbreaking defeats in there as well. So, you know, we are well-versed in the highs and lows of football, to say the least. But yeah, right now, definitely feels very good to be a Packers fan. And I'll let you guys obviously kick things off because I know no sky's falling a little bit in Minnesota. Your Pets' heads are falling off. It's not ideal. Not only obviously the loss in a game that didn't seem very close against Atlanta, but then losing McCarthy to a high ankle sprain, which just sort of clouds everything, especially after the first 2 weeks. And Aaron Jones is hurt. So yeah, I'll let you guys take it from there. How are you guys feeling? Like obviously, I say it in jest a little bit, but like legitimately, where are you guys at right now from like a where this season goes from here?
Ziggy, go ahead.
I was really hoping over the Vikings have a brutal schedule, like basically every NFC North team does. And the three games coming up were three of, I don't want to say the easier games because every game in the NFL is hard, but they were three of the easier games left on our schedule. You know, we were talking in our post-game reaction. We had the Bengals without their quarterback. Thank goodness that's not the Minnesota Vikings missing their quarterback over an important stretch. The Steelers for week two of the European vacation and then at Cleveland. If J.J. McCarthy comes back when we're expecting, he'll have the Eagles, Chargers, Lions, and Ravens coming out of that. Oh, so if you're a young quarterback trying to find your footing, that is not a good stretch of games to be coming back for. Even if he gets back early and it's the Cleveland Browns, great. Maybe they're a weaker team. You get Myles Garrett in your face every single snap. He's had an unbelievable start to the season. So, you know, the Vikings have the oldest defense in the NFL this year. We're number one in cash spending. They went all in on this season in a lot of ways. It's disappointing to see it get such a slow start. And J.J. McCarthy missed some opportunities to potentially start turning things around.
Yeah, it was so disappointing having the follow-up to that fourth quarter be what the Atlanta game turned into. And it wasn't all terrible. I mean, there like if you go through the tape, like there are some really positive plays for JJ. But what's most disappointing to me is after having that sort of a performance, you just want to get that taste out of your mouth. And you know, the Bengals defense is probably a good one to have that opportunity to do so. So for JJ, who I think is just so important right now that he gets more reps, more learning experience, Just for, it could be anything, right? Just for his timing, for his confidence, whatever you want to name it. It's only been two games, so we need to see him play. And when you see the injury, like, yeah, the game stinks. But then when you see the injury and it goes from 1 week to 2 to 4 now, it just starts to, in the back of your mind, all those questions of, should we have kept Sam Darnold? Daniel Jones is 2-0 right now. Aaron Rodgers, if you guys saw the video that's been circulating on social media of him throwing 50 yards on the run, like, he clearly still has the arm talent, even if it's not what it used to be. All of that starts to kind of rise up to the surface, and it's still only 2 weeks, which is, you need to remind yourself, but everything that you were hoping for has kind of been the exact opposite. And that's where I'm in this kind of like numb state of, I can't believe this is going on right now. And I mean, Andy, a lot of people are talking right now about this being sort of a benching of McCarthy. And there, I've been seeing videos online of the second to last play of the game where he looks like he's running fine. The people are saying you don't usually send your guy to the podium if he has a high ankle sprain, you're getting treatment. Personally, I've dispelled all of that. I think it'd be kind of crazy if that was the decision. But what do you think, as an outside perspective, or more of an outside perspective, do you think there's any chance that this is, let's give the kid a second to reset here? Or do you actually, I mean, I think he's hurt.
A couple things. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was a moment where he kind of got rolled up on and he kind of grimaced after a play. Yes. There was like some video evidence, right, of like he actually looked hurt on a play, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, they taped his ankle. They taped up his ankle.
Yeah, so like there's legitimate, like that happened, right? Now, whether the extent of that injury or whatever, I also believe that, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. It feels to me that Minnesota's a competent enough organization to be like, if they need a reset for J.J. McCarthy, to be like, hey, we need to kind of reset. We're going to give Carson a couple weeks to kind of run the show a little bit and just get JJ's, like, you know, just get him kind of reset. He's going to start again this year. This is not a overall benching. We just feel like we need to kind of do something. I feel like they can manage that in some way, shape, or form without it needing to be a fake high ankle sprain. Like, I feel like there's much better ways to navigate that than a fake injury in some way. So I'm a sucker sometimes for this stuff, and I just kind of tend to believe people. So I tend to believe that there probably is something here. That's my initial take on it. I'm curious of this though, for you guys. There's a few questions I want to ask about this. First of all, obviously in this game from a McCarthy standpoint, there's the throw he makes to Jefferson where it hits the ground right in front of him. There's the deep ball where he has the opportunity to kind of get them right back in the game. Mm-hmm. It's wide open. He's got to hit that throw. How much do you feel though is like, hey, getting Christian Darrisaw back, getting Jordan Addison back, if they get a couple of those pieces and the line just even protects him a little bit better and he starts to get into a little bit of a better rhythm, is there something still there, or is this just feeling a little bit broken with McCarthy at the moment?
At this point in time, I actually think it's a little bit of both. Just in rewatching the game, there are obviously a couple throws where you just say the interception he had, I believe it was out to Naylor on the first interception on the right side of the field, where, you know, he's just got to put that ball literally on the sideline, and he threw it a little too in. There have been accuracy issues. There's one play I keep bringing up to Ziggy where when we were on the goal line and had the delay of game and 3rd and 14, like, he bails the pocket a little early where he would have had Naylor breaking to the corner. Maybe that's a throw Sam Darnold hits and JJ yep. just doesn't. So I think as it stands right now, it's hard to say it's not a little bit of everything, because when you're watching school at left tackle and then we bring in our third string, Ryan Kelly left the game, backup center, those guys were getting crushed on the line. I mean, it was just almost every other play, it seemed JJ had someone in his face almost immediately. And when he had time, he usually made the right read. So I think it's a combination of he never got in rhythm, but also you're not getting helped when Jalen Walker, the rookie that I loved coming out of Georgia, just blowing up our backup left tackle. So I think that the injuries have played a substantial factor in the struggles as well, though it can't be considered everything.
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways, like you said, Paul. J.J. McCarthy has got to get the ball out faster.
Yes.
Before the last drive of this game, there was a single throw that he made under 2.5 seconds. And I know the Vikings offense has longer developing plays. Sam Darnold was near the bottom of the league in time getting the ball out last year. It was still 31% of his passes. This game, it was 5%. And it didn't really change. He held the ball just as long, whether they were blitzing or whether they weren't, which for a Falcons defense that this year has really amped up the blitzes, created a lot of difficulty on those pressures. So while you're right, we need Darrisaw back. We need the offensive line to get healthier. That certainly hurts. J.J. McCarthy's got to do a better job recognizing when they're coming at him and getting the ball faster, because you just can't hold the ball for an average of 3.2 seconds in the NFL. That is not going to work. And even guys that tend to hold the ball really long, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, get the ball out much faster when they're getting blitzed.
As far as like kind of going back to your other question and just where kind of Minnesota's at, like, is this actually a benching and not an injury? I'm less concerned about that. I'm more, I guess, not concerned, but more curious as to the fact of like, what if Carson Wentz does go full Sam Darnold and like actually looks decent in this offense? Like,
yeah.
Then what happens?
Like, that's what I think will happen. Like, I that's the Viking storyline, is it not? Like having Carson Wentz come in out of nowhere and just be great for a few weeks. QB or even
like what's the Mendoza line at this point of like where does he need to be at, like, if he's like the 21st best court, like 24th, if like McCarthy is at like 38th, like, that's just like PFF, who cares? But like if he's like 38th and like Wentz is again 22nd, is that still like, all right, we're just gonna keep going with Wentz? Like, to your point, you're spending a ton on defense right now. This team is relatively built to win right now, and it kind of just feels like, even if you're going with McCarthy and saying, well, we got to build for this in the future, you're just kind of in no man's land at that point, where you've got the rest of the roster that maybe kind of is built for winning now, and a quarterback that's built to win maybe kind of in 2028. Like, how does that work? That's more intriguing to me. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you seriously paid. Now, don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Green Bay is 2-0, and after a mini bye, they are set to take on Cleveland in their first road game of the season. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be going heavy on Matthew Golden and Edgerrin Cooper in this matchup. I'm also going to be keeping a close eye on Josh Allen, AJ Brown, and Ashton Jeanty in week 3. Now, some of you may be new, so let me just tell you, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. Lately, I've been really enjoying Flex Play, which allows you to still cash out even if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code Packaday, Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Hey friends, there are certain fall aesthetics that just bring back a multitude of personal and family memories that can't simply be replaced. A perfect autumn bonfire, the smell of fallen leaves, and of course, the best smell of them all, a perfect cut of meat searing wonderfully on a hot grill. And you know what season it is in Green Bay? It's tailgating season. That's why I already have a whole host of beautiful Omaha steaks ready for the grill this football season. I went with their fall bestsellers pack, which includes filet mignons, pork chops, jumbo franks, chicken breasts, and so much more. Now, Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. It's a family-owned company that has over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. And the best part is that every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Red Hot Sale event. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details.
There's also the fact that, Ziggy, you mentioned the schedule coming out of the bye when McCarthy seemingly will come back. That's the tough part. The time to strike for the Vikings is now. It was actually that Atlanta game too. Like, these are the wins we need to have. If you were looking at the Vikings schedule and how they could get to the playoffs, or the most optimistic of Vikings fans win the division, you needed to kind of get off to like a 4-1 start on this season. So what I'm kind of playing around in my head is, if Wentz comes out and stinks and we're 1-4 or 2-3, you could probably chalk up the season. But yep, if he comes out and plays decent football, which I'd say is unlikely given that he hasn't played in 2 years, but if he comes out and let's just say he wins all three, right, and the Vikings are sitting there at 4-1 going into their bye, you probably have to keep going with Carson Wentz. And that's when you get into this whole, like, you know, the Vikings have had these situations a few times. I'm thinking in particular Sam Bradford and Case Keenum season, like, I guess 9 years ago now. But if Carson Wentz comes out and is balling out and Kevin O'Connell's making him look good, now we get into really interesting conversations of, okay, not just this year, but even the future of JJ McCarthy. Like, what, you know, if he doesn't play in 2 years, for 2 years, I don't know what year three looks like. So it's all kind of, it feels like this is, these next 3 weeks here is a big moment for the future of JJ McCarthy, and it could go in almost any direction.
Yeah. It's really remarkable to me of like, it just, it almost feels like a no man's land, no matter what. And like, I think I thought, and you guys know, I thought McCarthy was going to be pretty good right away. I knew there would be hiccups along the way. I didn't think it was going to look this bad through 7 of the 8 quarters that he's played so far. But it just feels like a no man's land almost no matter what of like, all right, if you're trying to develop McCarthy, well, then this is going very terribly. And again, even if Wentz looks okay enough to continue to be the starter, man, does that put a wrench in his kind of long-term development? And then on the opposite side of like, if you need to completely dedicate this season just to his development, knowing that it's going to cost you in the short term, well, that doesn't necessarily feel great either. It just feels like a little bit of a no man's land.
The one saving grace that I think you can look on for JJ and where the Vikings stand right now is you do have to keep coming back to that. It is week two. it's 2 games. He's played 2 games in his entire career. And then when you look, when you really dive into the games in particular, and I know Chicago was pretty bad those first 3 quarters. But if you just look at Atlanta, they had the ball on the 1-yard line. You punch it in there, you get a touchdown, you take the lead probably going into half. A handful of drives, we get stalled out on 3rd, 4th, and 1. Like, there's just been a lot of opportunities where, and of course the injuries to the offensive line and Addison being out don't help, where if a couple things go differently, you're probably feeling a lot different about JJ. Even if, and I said the same thing to Ziggy about Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame's 2 plays away maybe from being 2-0, where that's the kind of the crazy thing about football is a couple things break differently, and it's not the sky's falling. It's, wow, can't believe we got away with this. Let's build on it, and when it all works out, this will be great. So I'm not willing to... A lot of people are just writing off JJ, and I just think that that's unfair to him and kind of crazy, a crazy thought to even just have about a first-year starting quarterback.
It's for the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week, nonetheless.
Like, that well, that was ridiculous. That was a little ridiculous.
But it, like, the really remarkable sort of ironic thing is just going back to Kevin O'Connell's quote of organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations. Like, that might get put to the test very, very quick of like, what is their temperature for just being like, McCarthy's our guy. We're going with it. We are not going to fail him. We are going to make him a successful quarterback. We know what we're going to go through to have to get there, but we're willing to take our lumps along the road. Or is it like, nope, Carson Wentz is our quarterback now? Like, that's just a very, like, the very interesting situation to be in following that quote in the offseason.
It's a great quote. And
it is.
Ziggy, what's your prediction when we come into week, what will it be? It'll be week 7, I guess, after the bye week. Who's the Vikings starting quarterback?
Can we say Max Brosmer is going to go on a Tommy DeVito-esque run? No, it's... I just don't think that Carson Wentz has a great season of football in him. We saw some of the Vikings backups a couple years ago. You can get maybe a good game or two out of some of these guys, but the thought that Carson Wentz is going to come in and lead the Vikings to the playoffs this season, I just don't see it. Regardless, JJ McCarthy needs snaps. We need to know what we have in this guy before it's too late. You don't want to be entering a situation where it's the middle of year 3, contract extension talk starts, and he's played only 1/2 of a good season of football. Right, that can't work out for an organization. It's not like the Packers did that a few years ago. We got to get JJ McCarthy out there. That's going to be my view until he looks bad for a long stretch of time.
Yeah, yeah. And the troubles for the Vikings go beyond that too. Harrison Smith is out, Van Ginkle's out, Cashman's out. There's so many injuries that it almost feels like we do just need a big reset on the season through 2 weeks, unfortunately. But we'll see if Carson Wentz versus Jake Browning. So for anyone who bought those tickets thinking you're going to get a young JJ McCarthy and a Joe Burrow clash, you're treated to this backup quarterback duel instead, and a very important game for the Vikings season still. So we can get off the Vikings here for the sake of Ziggy and I. We can move on. Oh, I guess, you know, is it any better now where we're going? But the Packers now, Andy, I have a couple questions for you. The first one, though, is I don't think anyone expected this kind of a start. Even if you were hopeful for Green Bay, you're probably thinking, maybe we go 1-1, or if we go 2-0, you know, 2 great wins. But in the fashion they've done it has just been depressing as a Viking fan, could be the right word. So I just want to ask you, through these first 2 games, has there been, what has surprised you the most in terms of like, I did not think that would be that good?
Yeah, I think the two things for me is, I mean, the defense being that phenomenal through the first 2 weeks is not something that I had completely on my bingo card. Now, if you would have said they got there eventually, once Micah Parsons really, you know, got more ingrained in the offense and things like that, and everything started to click over time, sure, I probably could have maybe got to that at some point. Being that impressive over the first 2 weeks against Detroit and Washington, respectively, that I don't know that I could have predicted coming. And to your point, like even with the Micah Parsons addition and things like that, those are two really good football teams that are coming to Lambeau for a team that couldn't win any games at all against good teams last year. I was talking to Paul Brettle. This is an episode that's going to come out on the Packaday podcast either later on Wednesday or early on Thursday. I knew that they were bad against good teams last year, Minnesota, Detroit, and Philly being those teams. They started down 28-0 to the Vikings in that first game, 24-3 to the Lions, 17-7 to the Lions, 20-3 to the Vikings, and 16-3 to the Eagles. That's a combined score of 105-16, 105-16 against good teams and to open those games. And they kind of worked their way back in most of those, but still lost every single one, 105-16. So to come out in the season and be like, you know what, we're just going to beat good teams now and like not even like have it be close. We're basically just going to, you know, run away with it. You know, maybe they'll cut it to a one score game at some point, but we're not even going to be bothered by that. That I could not have seen coming. I think the other thing for me is offensively to put up 27 points in both of those games, especially in like without like a key turnover, a big punt or kick return to set up any of those points, and without really anyone shining to any real extent, meaning Josh Jacobs is not gone for 100 yards or run super efficiently yet. Matthew Golden had two opportunities like where Jordan was just off that could have been explosive plays, but they missed on both of those. He's barely been involved in the first 2 weeks despite being open a lot if you go back and watch the tape. Tucker Kraft is probably the one that you would point to and be like, all right, he's made a big time impact, but it hasn't exactly been super smooth and or pretty on offense yet. And they still put up 27 points in both of those games. So to me, it feels like there's still a lot of meat on the bone for the offense as well.
Yeah, that's a scary. That's the scary thing about the Packers to me is it feels like the offense is still not quite clicking. And they're going to get better when Watson and Reed get back. Like that's the hope. I'm actually looking right now. It's kind of just fun looking at some of the stats here. But if you're looking at, you know, the pressures right now, the QB hits for the Packers versus their opponents right now, through two games, 21 QB hits for Green Bay. And just six for their opponents. Sacks, they're leading 8-2. So you're winning at the line of scrimmage against the teams that you're going to have to win again on the line of scrimmage against down the playoff stretch. So I think that that's another spot. You know, we talk about the defense. Offensive line is playing well. They're really just clicking across the board. Ziggy, are you... Let me ask you guys this. Because this is something I've been talking about recently with Packers fans, and they're kind of being a little hush-hush, like trying not to jinx anything. But when you start looking ahead on the schedule right now, it's like going into that Viking game, which Ziggy and I are actually going to try and get out for that game, Andy. So that could be nice. Fun. I don't know if you'll be there or not. I'm assuming you will.
I'll be in the press box. I won't be in the stands, but I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, nice. That's pretty cool. So anyway, though, this Packers schedule, as you're looking ahead to it, it's starting to get to that point now where you're like, okay, it should be a win. Like Browns win, Cowboys, you think you'll win that game, even though it's in Dallas. Bengals, no Burrow, win. Cardinals, probably win. Steal it. Like, at what point here are you starting to feel like, okay, this could be like 8-2, 9-1? Like, are you trying to hamper those or temper those expectations?
Nope. I'm not. I mean, the funny thing is I'm very much more of a guy that's like tempering expectations and trying to live in a reality. Like there's going to be adversity that hits this team at some point. When that is and what that is and how they overcome it, that's going to be ultimately the story that probably defines their season. Don't know what that's going to be or what it's going to look like, but it'll happen at some point in time. They'll probably lose something stupid along the way. It just kind of ends up happening that way. Hopefully it's not in a game that matters a crazy amount, but no, you look at this schedule right now and there's already like four games. I would say you have Philly at home on Monday Night Football in week 10. That looks like a big time heavyweight fight that I cannot wait for. That's going to be a blast. Thanksgiving, noon game, Packers at Lions, the kind of the rematch of week one. We already saw Detroit was so pissed off in week two. They just decided to throw 50 down on Chicago. That will be a very fun rematch. I actually think, you know, I know they're not playing the greatest right now. I think Denver in Denver on December 14th is going to be maybe not a big game. Tricky. I think it'll still be one that's a tricky one. Yeah, I think that's probably the right way to put it. And then I think Baltimore, it's a flex game. It's probably going to be the Sunday night football game would be my guess that week, or at least you know, one of the marquee games that week. That game also has the ability to be it. But those are the four. My guess is in the other ones, maybe they lose one or two games. And then in those four, maybe they go 2-2, something like that. But yeah, it's hard to imagine at this point right now, the way that I think we've seen this team play. I don't know that some of these teams have the ability to put up anything in the 20s, or at least in the high enough 20s against Green Bay, based on what we've seen from the defense. And if that's the case, I just kind of expect Green Bay to be able to put up enough points with the way this defense is playing to win the vast majority of these games. So I know it's not going to be easy. And I know if there's anything that will lie to you, it's week one games. And if there's anything else that will lie to you, it's Thursday night football home games. So I'm still trying to temper expectations as much as I can, maybe because of those two things, but it's really hard to see that defense live and in person and see what they're doing. And then rewatching it on all 22 and having it somehow even look better and being like, yeah, this is going to be a team that's going to struggle. Like, their defense in and of itself is going to keep them in a lot of games.
Oh, Andy, I'm a little bit hurt that you didn't include the two Minnesota Vikings games in there.
No, Ziggy, I don't know if you caught him. I was thinking the same thing, but then Andy said outside of those four, maybe you have like two losses, and I looked, and we still have. Yeah. So I'm assuming that's where Andy was going.
No, hopefully not. But no. You never know. That's the crazy thing, especially in division games. You never quite know.
It's hard for me to count out the Packers given the two teams they did these performances to. I mean, we talked about on this show last week, the Packers looked so good against the Lions that people had the Vikings higher in the divisional odds than Detroit, which at the time we still knew was crazy. Or you've got the Commanders team. I've seen their beat writers putting out stories like the Commanders have an identity crisis. We've got to figure it out right now. Like, Green Bay is sending good teams, teams that have a chance to compete for playoff wins, into doom spirals. And it's just hard for me to see a world where they're going to be able to do that to Detroit and the Commanders. And of course, every NFL team loses games. They're not going to challenge the undefeated Miami Dolphins. There will be losses here, but it's hard for me to see them doing it to those teams and not to the Cardinals or to the Panthers or to the Giants. And honestly, you know, the fact that a lot of those most difficult games on your schedule are at home, Philly comes into Green Bay, the Ravens come into Green Bay. A lot of wins are on the table. And I think at this point, the one seed is a reasonable goal for the Packers to have, if not an expectation.
I think so too. And yeah, again, these things tend to play out in crazy ways. But I mean, like, the crazy thing now is, like, you look at the schedule and you're like, if they get to five losses, it kind of feels disappointing, which is a fairly remarkable thing to say after 2 weeks of, like, if they go 12-5, it's like, all right, well, where did they screw this up along the way? And yeah, it is really difficult because I don't want to get ahead too far. And again, it is so early in the season and this is still a very small sample size, but the defense looks incredibly legit. And I still think the offense is going to get better. Christian Watson, Marshawn Lloyd haven't even played yet for the team. I feel good right now, but this is the world that we live in. Just as kind of like you guys were saying, where like after week one, Detroit's like, well, now they're going to finish third in the division. It's like, can we settle down a bit? And even like not to take the dagger and spin it even more. And I think you guys recognize some of the ridiculousness of like McCarthy getting the player of the week. But yeah. I saw really smart people after that one quarter be like, yep, they found their guy. They got their franchise quarterback. Now I'm like, are we completely ignoring the three quarters that happened before that? And again, I've been high on McCarthy and I still think there's something there, but like, I couldn't believe the conclusions that we were jumping to on this stuff. So I'm trying not to speak out of both sides of my mouth and do the same thing for the Packers from a positive side, but it's hard when you see that what they did against those two teams, to Ziggy's point, and be like, yeah, now it's like, yeah, the Browns or the Panthers or the Cardinals or whatever. Like, it's just, you kind of have an expectation of you should easily beat some of those teams.
A lot of times too, when it comes to defensive showings, like the Packers have had, those are performances that seem to be a little more, they're easier to roll over week in and week out. Or if you put up like 51 weekend, you just have a dynamic offensive day. it could change. But when you have a defense that looks the way the Packers look right now, the Vikings have had a couple of those back to like the Zimmer days. And that's a little different. Like that change, when you have one of those top five defenses in the league, they're kind of reliable. And we'll see as the year goes on, but against the Lions and Commanders of all offenses in the league, it makes you think, okay, we should be okay against the Browns and we should be okay against Kyler and Jake Browning. That's where I stand.
A couple of these, like, go back to last year for a moment. Like, there were a couple of these games that the Packers played defensively that really opened your eyes and go, holy cow, like, maybe this team can put together. And then it was like, well, yeah, it's against Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. And it's, you know, the Seahawks lose Geno Smith and Sam Howell comes in at quarterback. It's like, yeah, the defenses looked amazing in those games, but you had a pretty good reason as to why. And this one, it's harder to be like, well, it was only Detroit or only Washington. It was like, no, those are really good teams who know how to play offense in a variety of different ways. And no matter what button they tried to push to get their offense going, Green Bay had an answer for it every single time. So I'll leave you off the hook with any other positive Packers talk after that. But yeah, it's been fun to watch through 2 weeks.
Is there any concern about, maybe anything in general, but my mind kind of jumps to the receiving room with Reed being out. And, Tucker Kraft had a great game, great sort of a breakout performance on Thursday Night Football, even though yeah. Most Packer fans know he's a very good tight end. But is there any concern of like, okay, now with Reed out, who I kind of consider the pseudo one in that offense, does that bother you at all about impacting Love and how the offense clicks?
It doesn't for a couple of reasons. I think one, if you're still going into these games with Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs is kind of your primary five, mm-hmm. and you're looking at this for maybe 2 weeks against Cincinnati and Dallas, Cleveland and Dallas, like I think you can kind of survive that. And then soon after that, you're expected to kind of get Christian Watson back, maybe Marshawn Lloyd back after that as well. I think you have the pieces to sort of survive that right now. If the diagnosis was Jaden Reed is out for the entire season and will not come back at any point, that would also give me a little bit more cause for concern because I do think he is a very important piece for this offense. But if it's like, hey, he's going to miss 8 weeks, and in the meantime, Matthew Golden and Savion Williams get even more opportunities and more reps to get better in the offense, and you still have the pieces that you need, no, I'm willing to take a couple hiccups at wide receiver to let those guys develop while Jaden Reed gets healthy and Christian Watson comes back and gets his feet underneath him. And in a way, Reed already had that foot injury. Now he's going to have 2 months to kind of heal up, get the collarbone, the shoulder, the foot a little bit more right. Mm-hmm. And I think it might actually be a little bit of a blessing in disguise where he gets healthy. And in the meantime, Golden and Williams get more ingrained in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, for you guys, it'll probably work out fantastic, knowing the Packers. All right, so I want to ask you guys, I was looking ahead. I know we don't always get to hit the Lions and the Bears too much, but I do want to ask you, because that bounce back win from Detroit here, 52-21 over the Bears, it felt like a very clear statement. And you could see in the press conference after the game, Ben Johnson a little bit snappy with some of the reporters when they're saying, what do you think of Detroit running up the score? He goes, well, what else do you want them to do? Like that's who Dan is. And I think you don't really need to run up the score that much if you don't want to. I think they went for it on fourth and goal, if I'm correct. But still, nonetheless, though, Detroit really put the hammer down on Chicago on Ben Johnson, and they let them know it, too. So does the story of this game, and let me ask you, Ziggy, is the story of this game to you more of Detroit's resurgence here and authoritative we're back, or is it Chicago just kind of falling back into this, oh, here we go, another long season?
We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your Z-Biotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code packaday. Sports are all about competition. Every snap, every possession, every clutch moment matters. That same energy is what 1v1me brings to video games. Every single day, you can watch and stake on matchups in Madden, NBA 2K, FC, and Call of Duty Search and Destroy. All the games are streamed live, every match has refs, and payouts are instant. And these aren't just random online lobbies. These are the best players in the scene, pros, streamers, and rivals, with season playoffs and the championship game on the line. Every game matters. Over 100 million has already been paid out on the app, and the community is growing fast. If you're a sports fan, a gamer, or just someone who loves having a little extra on the line, 1v1me is where you need to be. It's not just about winning. It's about the bragging rights, too. Every match has a chat going crazy, and you can back your pick in real time. Download today and use code PACKADAY. Your first stake on the app is risk-free. That's code PACKADAY for a risk-free first stake. Do not miss this opportunity.
I mean, I did not expect a lot from Chicago before the season. So seeing them struggle going into Detroit is not a surprise. I mean, almost any team in the NFL, I think, would have struggled going into Detroit on this week with this kind of motivation on the other side. But this Detroit team is legit. I know that people are basically counting them out of the division with their ridiculously difficult schedule. They're already behind the Packers losing in Green Bay. I get that. But Jameson Williams looked great. The running game finally looked good. If your number one takeaway isn't, oh my goodness, how did Green Bay hold this team to a couple of touchdowns and shut down the run game? I think your takeaway has to be this Detroit team is going to continue to be difficult. We will find out next week when they go to Baltimore which of their two games was the outlier, right? Are they going to be a team that beats up on really bad teams and struggles against the good ones like the Dolphins were a couple years ago? I don't expect them to be that. I expect them to be a team that can at least compete with the best in the NFL. But the wheels are in danger of coming off in Chicago. They host Dallas next week. That is an absolute must win. If this game, if it looks anything like this game, or honestly anything like the Vikings game, where there's extended periods of ineptitude, it could be a tough season for Chicago.
What do you think?
I'm right there. Yeah, I'm right there too. I think Detroit's going to be more than fine. We talked about it last week, right? When Minnesota was ahead, it still felt like that was a jump to conclusion for the Lions, not even necessarily commenting on Minnesota there, but for the Lions, it felt kind of disrespectful that they automatically went down to third in the division and expectations or Vegas odds or whatever. I love this matchup this week with Baltimore. Just me, like this feels like a heavyweight fight already, but the loser goes to 1-2. That just feels like it feels very important early in the season. I think both teams will easily be able to bounce back no matter which team loses in this game. But I just think it makes it feel almost a little bit more important, which I love it even more. They go to Baltimore. Right after that, they've got Cleveland and Cincinnati. Detroit does. So they'll bounce back with two wins. And then they go KC right after that. So it's going to be an interesting month here from Detroit with how they managed a couple of those big games against both Baltimore and KC. But I think they're going to be more than fine. As far as Chicago goes, I have a friend who is a Bears fan, and this is I've read this a couple times already, but I'll read it one more time. Well, first of all, he said, like, you don't understand, of like the last like three decades, you've had the most fun football experience. And then like I've just been like every season it's been something like getting my hopes up again and then immediately just getting it shattered. It's like I can't even enjoy football because I immediately have a heartbreaking loss on a noon game, and then I have to try to watch football. It's like I don't even want to watch football after that. But he said, quote, all that matters is if Ben and Caleb are the right guys. All that matters is if Ben and Caleb are the right guys. All that matters is if Ben and Caleb are the right guys. And he said, I'm just going to keep repeating that to myself. It's like a breathing exercise at this point, just trying to get himself in that mindset of like, the record doesn't matter. The rest doesn't matter. Just, did they get the right coach? Did they have the right quarterback? If so, they can live with any of the lumps that they're taking in the moment. But I'm with you. We saw this team completely implode following that Hail Mary against Washington last year. They haven't exactly done great in these sort of circumstances. Now they're 0-2, and they've got Dallas this week, which is a really interesting game. They go to Vegas, they go to Washington. They do have some winnable ones with New Orleans, Cincinnati without Burrow. The New York Giants are on their schedule. Minnesota Vikings. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this team plays, because it could get worse before it gets better.
We shout him out quite often on our show, a good friend, Wes Sundell, my college roommate. We were with him this weekend at the Notre Dame game. And he said for the first time listening to our show, he actually got really upset when we were just having fun on the Monday night live stream and said, let's throw a Bears Still Suck in the live chat, and a bunch of Packers fans start putting Bears Still Suck. So Weston was talking about this Detroit Lions game, and he was like, you know, we play them really tough. I think we're going to go in there and win. I think we're going to bounce back and win. And Ziggy and I kind of did this like side look at each other, like, oh yeah, okay, good. We'll see. And at 52-21, obviously Weston did not have a great Sunday afternoon, but there was one piece. And I said this in the reaction of that game. I was listening to Tom Brady talk to Colin Cowherd about the development of quarterbacks. And he was getting into how you rank quarterbacks 1-32 in the league all the time, but you don't rank the developmental staff and the coaches very often for QBs. And he said, when we're talking, I don't know if he was specifically talking about Caleb or not, but it was along the lines of, you know, let's give this a little time as well. Because last year, the Bears clearly were a disaster from top to bottom. And Caleb, I think at the end of the year, actually might have been the lone bright spot, was that he started to actually play better. So right now, where I was saying to all the Bears fans, just relax a little bit. This is not going to be the year. Like, if you're thinking you're going to go on an NFC championship game run, like some people thought at the beginning, that's not happening. But I think your friend's right in that the only thing that matters is actually that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams can work it out. And we're in, again, similar to JJ McCarthy, we're in week two of this new offense. And Caleb, it's not like Caleb doesn't have bright spots. They're certainly there. It's just the way that you lose to Minnesota, and then the way that you follow it up with the other end of the spectrum, it's fine to be disappointed. But I think you just need to keep the bigger picture in mind right now of let's let this year go. The one thing on the Lions, though, I think they're all the way back. Like, I think Detroit is so good. It's hard for me not to even put them at number one sometimes in power rankings. I know they lost to Green Bay. That's a little bit of an overreaction here. But I just think this team, the culture is so good there. That to me, that Green Bay game, they came out, you guys came out with your hair on fire. It was, you wanted to beat Detroit badly now for a while after they've got you a few years in a row. I think it was the perfect storm for Green Bay to win the way they did. I think if I'm a Lions fan, going and beating Baltimore would be the second huge statement right now of, okay, we might actually still be the best team in football. So I have no worries if I'm a Detroit fan that this team, Ziggy said they're not on the same tier as the Eagles and Packers to him at this point in time, that they're on their own second tier by themselves in the NFC. Personally, I think those three teams are the clear teams to beat.
I tend to right now, just because what I saw in week one, probably put Green Bay and Philly on that top tier. But if Detroit's on a separate tier, it's like a motorcycle sidecar. They're riding right alongside. It's just a little bit offset to the side. It's certainly not by much. And kind of, as I mentioned before, I think that Thanksgiving game, you know, in Detroit is going to be a absolutely epic matchup. Hopefully both teams are healthy and we get that heavyweight fight, but a noon game on Thanksgiving, that has the ability to be a ton of fun. Short week on the road for Green Bay, not necessarily ideal, but yeah, that's going to be a fun matchup, and they're right there. And if they beat Baltimore this week, that will put them back on everyone's radar of like, oh yeah, they're very much still in that conversation.
In the event that on Thanksgiving, it's like 2-minute warning, Packers are driving to win the game, and you start having your family call you into the table, and it's like, all right, Andy, come on. And now hopefully at this point, your family knows by now, but my family does this every single year. Right at the end of the game, are you like, do you have any tactics where you're like, all right, let me see if I could stall a little bit, or are you just gonna kind of put your head down and walk into the dining room?
So in the past, it would definitely depend on which family's Thanksgiving I was going to, but if I was at mine, I would be basically like, nope, it's Thanksgiving time, it's time to eat or whatever. There has been no greater aspect of my life, almost in general, than like being now to have this as my full-time job, to be like, sorry, I'm working that day. I'm not going to be able to make it to Thanksgiving this year because it's my job. It's, you know, this is what pays the bills. So that has been one of the great things, whereas like there was a big pack, like right before probably like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, there was a huge Packers Falcons game. And it was on, we have all our family birthdays in like early December. It was on like early December or late November, one of the two. And we were going to celebrate everything. And it was just this massive game. And I'm like, well, at least maybe they'll have it on in the house. Nope, not on at the house. And I wasn't quite to that point yet of being like, hey, this is my job. I kind of need to do this. It's whatever. It's just like, nope, sorry. This is when we're celebrating. Now I have full carte blanche to be like, yeah, you know what? Going to be covering the game today. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to make Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever the thing is. That has been a large blessing in disguise. I will say that.
Yeah, my family is, it's like 2-minute warning last year, Bears Lions. And they're like, all right, dinner time, dinner, let's go. And my dad and I are like, you know, we're trying to chase down Detroit in the division. It's like, okay, let's pull up YouTube TV, you know. All right, let's wrap it up here. We got a couple minutes left. Week 3 game picks for the NFC North. We could blast through them. I'll throw in the Lions and the Bears game as well. We could kind of go fast here. We'll go in the order of the time of the game here, according to Google. So Bengals at Vikings. It's Wentz versus Jake Browning. Who do you guys got? Ziggy, let's hear it from you.
Classic Minnesota Vikings. Carson Wentz is going to look great. I had the Bengals winning this when J.J. McCarthy was playing. I've got the Vikings winning this now.
Okay.
Help me out. Where are we at with Christian Darrisaw?
I think he's still up in the air. Hold on, let me see. Let me do a quick.
They've been very conservative with Darrisaw. We really have no idea what's going on.
Not guaranteed to return in week 3. Let's assume he's out. I kind of have a feeling he's going
to
be out.
All right, I'm gonna make this one. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. If Darrisaw plays, Minnesota wins. If Darrisaw doesn't play, Minnesota loses. I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna hedge my bet that way.
It's honestly probably fair given Wentz being back there too. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think they'll win because I do think that we're headed towards a like, oh, the Vikings will be pretty good for a couple weeks. And then there has to be more drama than this. Otherwise it's not a Viking season. Next up, we have the Packers and the Browns in Cleveland. This looks like a great spot for Flacco and Cleveland to get their first win of the year, doesn't it, Ziggy?
No, I'd love to talk that up more. I know this. What am I supposed to do here? It's Green Bay by a million. Myles Garrett's going to have a great game. I'm excited to see what he does. That's it.
If you could either have the Packers lose or the Vikings win this week, you can only choose one. What are you choosing?
I need a Vikings win.
I need
like a real win.
I need the win. I dislike the Packers, but I need the Viking win.
Packers win big.
Yep, I'm with you right there. Cowboys at Bears. So Chicago, did they get their first win of the season, Ziggy?
No. It's this Cowboys team, they played well against Philly. They showed they've got some grit against the Giants. I don't think they're very good, but I don't think the Bears are very good either. I think Dak Prescott can get it done.
Bears win. I don't know why or how. Field goal at the end. And they're going to get the Bears are going to doink one in at the end to win in a miraculous fashion and get a huge Chicago Bears win. So I'm going to say somehow the Bears win this one.
I think they're going to win too. The Dallas defense has not been good this year. I think the Caleb maybe not gets really going, but I think he'll have a better game than he's had to open the season. And I'm with you, Andy. Maybe not on a doink in, maybe a double doink puts double the doink Bears to 1-2. And last but not least, Monday Night Football, the game of the week, Lions at Ravens. What you got, Ziggy?
I think the Lions are actually going to be able to do this. I feel very good about this team. The Ravens' victory last weekend was obviously very impressive, but their offense didn't look quite as good as the score would indicate. I think the Lions are a real team, and I think they're going to go in and show it in Baltimore on Monday Night Football.
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson. I just think he provides a few more opportunities than Jared Goff with just his running ability as well. I think that's going to be the difference. Ravens by 4.
I'm with you, Andy. I think this actually could be even a Super Bowl preview, potentially. Whoever was the home team, I was probably going to take in this one. So given that it's in Baltimore, I got the Ravens winning a close one too. But this is going to be, I mean, maybe so far, other than the Bills-Ravens game and the Packers-Lions, the most anticipated one for me of the season so far. So it should be fun.
I got to do my final deal or no deal. So before week one, I offered Caleb Williams for JJ McCarthy. I think Ziggy said he's sticking with, Ziggy said he's sticking with McCarthy. And, you know, you said, Paul, you were going to take Caleb Williams. I think last week you both, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you both took JJ McCarthy, right?
Yeah, we did.
All right, sorry. Now in true banker fashion, the deal has gone down. Now your choice is you can have JJ McCarthy or Spencer Rattler moving forward. Which one are you taking moving forward?
God. I would still take McCarthy over Rattler right now. I mean, Caleb, yeah. I was hoping you were going to give the Caleb offer. I was
gone down. Next week it might be Malik Willis, so be careful what you wish for. God.
Well, Packers Nation would all take Malik Willis from what we have seen.
There is a little bit of over-exuberance in Packers Nation for Malik Willis. I will absolutely readily admit that.
Who are you, Ziggy?
I got to keep JJ McCarthy. He's our guy. I'm sticking with it. Hell or high water.
The deal might be worse next week. Not next week. We won't do it again until JJ plays again. But all right, we'll kind of keep track of it through the course of the season.
Yeah, and I guess Ziggy, we'll end with, but we'll do, you know, as we do our sign offs. Andy's kind of convinced us that we should end with the skull after last week. So I mean, we'll give our little like, all right, let's go beat the Bengals skull here.
But, my heart's not in it, Paul. You're gonna have to do that on your own.
Well, go ahead, Andy. It only feels right that you send us off on this episode.
Until next time, and as always, go Pack, go. We'll be right back.